Would you turn with me, please, to the Gospel according to Luke at chapter 11. The Gospel according to Luke at chapter 11. And as the Lord would enable us, we might consider together verse 3. Luke chapter 11, verse 3. We read verse 2. He said to them, "When ye pray, say, Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name, thy kingdom come, thy will be done as in heaven, so on earth. Give us day by day our daily bread." Especially verse 3. Give us day by day our daily bread. This prayer is one of the most wonderful prayers, surely, that we have in Scripture. It is a very spiritual prayer. It lifts up our minds when we think of prayer. It lifts up our minds to heavenly things. It reminds us that we are praying to a heavenly Father. It is no ordinary thing to pray. It reminds us that our great desire should be to reverence, and that the name of God might be hallowed throughout the world. How shall that be done? Well, let his kingdom advance. The thought is especially that the kingdom of grace may advance and the kingdom of glory may come. And how shall that happen? Well, one means will be if the Lord's people are a people who submit to his will, his commands, and who, when providence comes, submit to his providence. But they might not be complaining, as we often tend to, but rather just as the angels in heaven obey without complaint, and whatever happens, they do not complain, so we are to be the same. Thy will be done as in heaven, so on earth. So what a challenging spiritual content to this prayer. And all of a sudden, it seems to change. At least that's the way some would think. Give us day by day our daily bread. We've gone to the heights, from the heights of hallowing the name of God, thinking of his kingdom, longing for God's will to be done, to our daily bread, to our belly. Because of that, there are some who think that this petition of this prayer should really be spiritualized. But what it's saying when it says, "Give us day by day our daily bread," as well, may God bless the word of God to us. Or the Roman Catholics perhaps even suggesting that he would bless the Lord's Supper in a ritualistic idea of having the Lord's Supper even every day. Well, that's your daily bread, grace for each day. My friends, there's no need for us to spiritualize this petition of the Lord's Supper, this petition of the Lord's Prayer. Because, well, for a start, is it not true that we cannot serve God spiritually in our soul unless our body is also provided for? So, there's a spiritual dimension to this. How shall we do the will of God? How shall we serve God in our minds and in our souls if our bodies aren't refreshed to help us to serve him? But there's not only that. Christ has redeemed you, dear believer, body and soul. Your body is not going to lie in the grave forever. There's going to be a glorious resurrection when Christ returns. And your body shall be glorified. Why? Because it has been purchased by Christ. Christ has come to destroy the works of the devil, to undo the ruination that sin has brought into our lives. It's not just our souls, but our bodies, which are redeemed. not your own, you're bought with a price. Glorify therefore God in your body and your soul, which is the Lord. Well, surely our bodily needs should also be the subject of our prayers. But when we are praying for our bodily needs, we should be aiming beyond our mere physical needs to the glory of God. Perhaps we'll get an example of that in Hannah as she prays for a child. There she is without a child, feeling the grief of her barrenness. Lord, give me a child. But what does she then go on and say? I will give him back to the Lord. There is a God-centeredness in her asking. It's not merely for herself she wants this child. It is that this child might be of use and serve the Lord. Surely that should be our desire for all our children and our grandchildren and any future children the Lord may give. But there's another reason why we can see this is so important, even to pray for our physical needs. Praying for our physical needs is actually an encouragement to us about spiritual things. Because if God provides for your physical needs, will he not also provide for your spiritual needs? It speaks to each one of us. It speaks to the unconverted. It's a challenge to them, but also an encouragement to them to turn to the Lord. We read of the goodness of God leading to repentance. It's a challenge. See how good God is despite your sin. Turn to him. You can see he's merciful and willing to receive penitent sinners. What an encouragement this prayer is then, as it is answered with the provision of our food, because it's saying, we're saying to the unconverted, let the goodness of God lead you to repentance. And what's it saying to the Lord's people who have tasted that the Lord is gracious already, who have repented of their sin and come to trust in Christ? Well, aren't you reminded of this? If he did not spare his son, how shall he not also with him freely give you all things? Here's a token of the many things God will yet provide for you. Indeed, isn't this an encouragement to us to pray? Because you have many concerns. Some of them may be major concerns affecting your life. Sometimes we have major life-changing decisions to make. Sometimes things are happening to us which may be life-changing. But it's not always that way, is it? You have many trivial things which might bother you. Sometimes you lie awake at night, not with the major things of life, but silly little things, as we might think of them. But you can take even these to the Lord. Do you need daily bread? Give us day by day our daily bread. The Lord's interested in our requests for little things as well as big things. Give us our daily bread. Faith asks for all that it needs from God. Bread here, of course, it means more than literal bread. It's really a reference to all our physical needs, certainly all that we need to sustain us. And when we can see God providing for our physical needs, isn't there a special sweetness in it? I'm sure sometimes if children or perhaps a husband make something for a mother, a wife, then it's special. It tastes good just because, not just because someone else has made it, because, well, it was the children or the wife, the husband that made it. There's a special sweetness there. Well, here's what the Lord gives you as you pray this prayer. You see the sweetness of what God gives you. As you remember, he gives you it. Well, let's notice five characteristics of this prayer. are five things that it shows in these words. Give us day by day our daily bread. The first one is dependence. That's the first thing that strikes us. There is dependence. In this prayer, surely, we are being taught to acknowledge that God gives us all we have. That he is the giver of all that we have. Give us day by day our daily bread. Here is this reminder that God provides all that we have. It's something that even the heathen recognized. In him we live and move and have our being. As even the heathen poets said, so says Paul in Acts 17:28. There is God who provides all that we have. Lord, thou preservest man and beast. How precious is thy grace. Psalm 36, verse 5. The eyes of all things, Lord, attend, and on thee wait that here do live. And thou in season due dost give sufficient food them to relieve. There is God, Psalm 145, verse 15, providing all things with their daily nourishment. So this prayer is reminding us, God gives us all that we have. And we need to be reminded of that, because it's so easy for us to lose sight of that fact. The day and age in which we live is an age when it can be difficult to remember that God gives us all that we have. If you think of how we have those scientific explanations for things, why is there a drought at a certain time? And no rain, or why is there too much rain? Well, the weather forecasters can explain so much to you, and you understand. And because you understand, you can end up saying, well, that's the way it is, I can understand it scientifically, and you lose sight of the fact that God's in control of the weather. And between that and the fact that we live in an age where few work the land. Are you interested in the price of sheep, or corn, or barley? Do you really take notice of whether the fields are progressing normally or not, and the harvest is going to come in? I mean, let's face it, for most of us, we just go to the supermarket, we expect the shelves to be full. Virtually every day they are full. If they're not, well, usually we find out there's a reason why. There are transport difficulties, there's a strike here, and that's the problem. There's panic buying. But apart from that, how rarely we think of where things come from. Picture a day when you were tilling the ground. You were looking for rain to come at the right time. And you knew that if the rain didn't come at a certain time, there might be no crop for that year. Where would you be? And you had to watch things progress. And you're anxious. Your eyes always watching in such a situation. You're aware, God, of your dependence upon God. It's a bit like the fisherman often, because he's doing a dangerous situation. Often he was a dangerous job. Often he was aware of his need for preservation more than we are. Here's this prayer that's reminding us then. Acknowledge God in everything in your life and in all that you have. Rely upon him. Give us. And you notice it says, give us this day. Here's a reminder that each day we need the Lord to provide for all our temporal needs. Again, part of our problem is we tend to have so much. For some of us, we might have food in our freezer that if we never need a shop for a month, we would survive quite happily. It's so difficult to remember. Every day, always, we must rely on Him. Give us day by day our daily bread. You notice it's our bread. Perhaps part of our problem also is that because we work, you might not be a farmer, but you go and work, you earn some money. With your money, you pay for your food that you're going to eat. What do you end up doing? You forget God is the one who gives you the ability. There was a warning there in Deuteronomy 8 at verse 18. Thou shalt remember the Lord thy God. It is he that giveth thee power to get wealth, that he may establish his covenant that he sware unto thy fathers as it is this day. He gives you the ability to work as well as blessing that work. So here's this dependence. Acknowledging God, giving all that we have. How we need to learn that, and this prayer is teaching us that anew. And alongside that, there's that sense of dependence and acknowledging that God must bless all that we have. He must not only give us all that we have, he must bless all that we have. Very easy for us to think, I am rich, I have much in store, I have no needs. And therefore we either don't pray or we struggle to pray. Surely this prayer is teaching that what we need is the blessing of God with all that we have. It's teaching us that it is God who must bless what we have and make it a blessing to us. You remember Daniel and his three friends. They don't want to eat the food of the Egyptians, the Babylonians. They wish to eat food which is in accordance with the Old Testament laws. Surely they will thrive as well. But they're praying that God would bless what they do eat to them. To give them strength. It's the blessing of the Lord that makes rich. Isn't that something we need to learn? It's not enough just to have our food. Will your food do you good? You need the blessing of God with it. And it's not just God blessing what we do have. So we ask a blessing upon our food, that God would bless it to our body's needs. There's also this, that God alone can preserve what we have. Remember the prophecy of Haggai? There they were, more interested in their own houses than the building of the temple. And the Lord, through Haggai, tells them that they're like people who are putting money in a bag with holes. So it's not being blessed to them. And although they had crops, they were blasted with mildew and other things, and they ended up not being preserved and blessed for them. In other words, we're being taught, give me day by day my daily bread. Lord, keep me from trusting in anything, in the stores I have, but in God to preserve those stores for me. Now, we're not to think that the Lord is saying here, our scripture is teaching us that the believer will never grow hungry. Paul speaks in 2 Corinthians 11 of often being in fasts and being in hungering. Hungry situations. And in Hebrews 11:37, you've got the catalogue of the heroes of faith. And, well, at the end of that, you get people who were, they were cut in two, were sawn asunder, they had trials, they had problems. No doubt they had times when they were starved by others. But the point is, God can bless whatever we do have. And if his blessing is with us, even if it's only a little thing, then it is blessed indeed. I remember reading an account of a minister going to visit. This would be years ago, and he looked through the window of the house he was visiting, and there was nothing apart from the most meagre affair. And here was the man giving thanks. And as he gave thanks, there was a stress on thy blessing. There was joy and gladness, the fact that there could be God's blessing with it. Isn't that the way we are to be? The blessing of God with it. So here is this reminder of our dependence. Something we're needing to remind ourselves of day by day. That we need to daily depend on God for all that we have. And we need the Lord to be teaching us that day by day. So that's one thing this prayer teaches us. Dependence for our daily food and daily needs. A second thing, moderation. Moderation. You see the evidence of moderation here. Give us day by day what? Our daily bread. Well, the ungodly, no doubt, would want the world. All sorts of rich fare. Very easy for the mind to begin to wander and think of all the sorts of things that a person might have. But you notice here, it is bread. Reminds us of Proverbs 38, verse 8. Remove far from me vanity and lies. Give me neither poverty nor riches. Feed me with food convenient for me. Lest I be full and deny thee and say, who is the Lord? Or lest I be poor and steal and take the name of my God in vain. There's moderation. There is contentment. You could say that what he's praying for here, or teaching us to pray for, is that God would satisfy our bare needs. And that he would do that this day. It's not that we don't plan for the future, in a sense. But we remember, we're alive this day. And really what we need is sufficient for life as it is now. Sufficient for the day is the evil thereof. Sufficient for the day are the blessings thereof. She's not saying, give me the best of fare and a great heap that will last me for weeks and weeks and weeks. Give me this day, day by day, daily bread. And friends, isn't there a wisdom there? And there's learning this moderation. Because what happens when things are going well and we're abounding and we've got an ample sufficiency and more than we really need? Well, when there's an abundance, often it produces a false confidence. We begin to take our eyes off God and look at our resources. We become ensnared with these things. We become like those who are have forgotten that the love of money is the root of all evil, and who trust in uncertain riches rather than in the living God. Isn't that true? That's often the way we are. It's not that we intentionally do so, but it can happen. And you had that in Deuteronomy there in verse 18, or was it in Proverbs? Lest he deny God by the way he was behaving. It's so easy to lose sight of God. We forget it's the blessing of God that makes rich. When we're in that situation where we have a moderate measure of the good things of this life, doesn't it leave us dependent on God? You remember the widow of Zarephath that Elijah went to visit, who was going to supply him with his needs. She's a barrel of meal, but there's virtually nothing left in that barrel of meal. She's about to make her last little meal for her son and herself, and then just give up and presume they'll die of famine. And there's a promise that if she feeds Elijah, the Lord will cause that barrel of meal not to run out. And the Lord fulfills his promise. Now, it's not sacks of meal that arrive. The barrel isn't refilled every day. It seems to be the last amount that's taken out, but somehow there's always something left. Why? God was, well, miraculously providing for that woman who was relying on God and trusting the promise of God that he would, as she fed Elijah, God would provide for her and the prophet. That's how the Lord would have you and me. Here's this prayer saying, give me daily bread. And really it's saying, keep me dependent on the Lord. It's good for us when we're in that situation. Remember the manna? It fell every day. They were only to take what they would use each day because it wouldn't last, except on the Sabbath day, when the day before they had taken twice the amount that lasted over the Sabbath. It's good for us to learn to trust in God. It's bad often for us to get on well, because we then lose sight of God. Jeshurun waxed fat and kicked. Rebelled. They lost sight of God. May God spare us from being like that. Indeed, if we're praying this prayer and we have an eye to moderation in our requests, what it shows is an awareness that we know there's more to life than merely our daily needs. Yes, we need food. But at the end of the day, man should not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds from the mouth of the Lord. And so we sang in Psalm 37 that a little that a just man hath is more and better far than is the wealth of many such as lewd and wicked are. The just man, having a little, has got more than the rich man who is a wicked man. Why? Because he has got spiritual blessings alongside the little that he has in this world. He is richer and blessed indeed. Here's this prayer then teaching us to be moderate in our use of all that we have. Teaching us indeed that what we do have really is given to us that we might be good stewards of all that we have. As those who will have to give an account to God for the way we use our daily food. So there is dependence, there is moderation. Thirdly, there is contentment. Notice there's contentment here. Another lesson we need to learn. Daily bread. That's what he's teaching us to pray for. Daily bread, so it's what you need today. What is sufficient for you today? And you'll notice there's no details there. It's daily bread. Why is that? At the end of the day, it's leaving God to determine what that daily bread means. We're being taught to allow God to determine what our daily bread will be. We're being taught to be content. We're being taught that to look to God to supply all our, not our desires, but our needs. And to have confidence that he will do this. And friends, isn't it true it's not easy to do that? It's not easy to submit to God's providences. It's not easy to submit when testing comes and when you're struggling. Paul himself says, I have learned in whatsoever state I am therewith to be content. So it wasn't something which was just intuitive. It came to him. He didn't have to think about. He was automatically a content person. Through the ups and downs and challenges of life, he was learning to be content and what it meant to be content. Friends, let us seek such contentment. Let us seek to be in a situation where we can cope whether we have a lot or whether we have little. Where we'll not be put up nor down by what we have. Let us learn godliness with contentment is great gain. And having food and clothing therewith to be content, it's not easy. But that's what this prayer is teaching us. Give us our daily bread. What do we need to learn? Well, we need to learn that whether it's mountains of food or riches or whatever, that they are uncertain and there's more to life than them and they can't always help us in the situations of life. You and I, when we learn that, begin to learn to be content with God's provision for us. If we've experienced God's comfort and trials, if we have peace in the midst of difficulties, then we're learning what it is to be content. I might not have what I want. I take no pleasure in the difficulties I have. But on the other hand, the Lord's with me. I'm conscious of his presence, his upholding, his help. Well, I will learn in such a situation to be content. Indeed, aren't we often needing taught that our moaning and complaining doesn't bring us peace? Is that not true of Israel? How often they murmured. And you think of all their murmuring, complaining against God on their journey from Sinai to the Promised Land, and they robbed themselves of so much peace by their complaints. They acted foolishly. We need that contentment where we will trust in God as Job did. Though he slay me, yet will I trust him. And if we recognize that it is the God our Father who we are calling upon to give us our daily bread, to supply us with our needs, then we can with confidence relax and look to God to care for us. And be content with his fatherly care. My Father knows best. I'll listen to what he says. I'll do what he says. I'll be content with what he gives me. If he says, no, you're not getting that, I'll accept what he says. Oh, friends, aren't we so slow? But we're being taught these things. Contentment. That's what this prayer teaches us. Indeed, if we remember what we deserve, that we are not worthy of the least of God's mercies, that it is of the Lord's mercies that we are not consumed, because his compassions fail not. They are new every morning. Great is his faithfulness. Well, that will give us thanksgiving for the little things, as well as when we may know much prosperity. Contentment. It's not often we think of just giving thanks to God for a little water. But if you and I were seeing things the way we should see things, surely we would recognise even a little drink of water is a great blessing from God. A fourth thing, consideration. Consideration. Give us day by day our daily bread. You'll notice here there is consideration of the rights of others. Because it's so easy for us to be wrapped up with ourselves and what we think are our own rights and what we are due. We live especially in an age where everyone thinks, I am owed this, and it's all about me and my contentment. Well, this whole prayer is breathing a different atmosphere, doesn't it? Give us this day our daily bread. Our daily bread. He's not saying, pray that you'll be given someone else's bread. Rather, it is our daily bread. We're warned then against what the book of Proverbs calls the bread of idleness. We're not to be like some, like the Thessalonians, some of whom at least, because of their belief in the second coming, had said there's no point even working, and they're just sponging off others, waiting the second coming of Christ. And Paul rebukes them and says, look, if you will not work, you shall not eat. And he says, now then, those that are such, we command and exhort by our Lord Jesus Christ, that with quietness they work and eat their own bread. They were to work and they were to eat their own bread. They were to remember the rights of others. They weren't to be taken up with themselves and just what they can get. That's the way some people are. They're just out for themselves. And if they can get one over someone else and drive a hard bargain and crush the little man who isn't able to defend himself, well, all the better. I'm enriching myself and I'm prospering. That's not scriptural. There's consideration of others here. Our daily bread. Of their rights. And yes, surely also of their needs. Of their needs. Give us. Not give me, but give us. There's me and there's others around me. How inclusive this is of many, many people. In other words, let us be people who pray for one another and who pray for the physical needs of one another, who are not wrapped up with what I need, but to show that what is a mark of true religion in being concerned for others as well. There's consideration here. And a final thing to notice, we have confidence. Confidence. Give us day by day our daily bread. I don't know if we would often say to someone, give me that. Be careful who we said it to. Here's going to God, our Father, and saying, give me. We teach our children perhaps to say, please, may I have this? We expect them to be polite and respectful and not grasping and greedy. give me, or I want. Usually I want gets nothing. But notice what you've got here. Give me, give us, day by day, our daily bread. There's actually boldness here, isn't there? Isn't it wonderful that we can approach God and say, give us day by day our daily bread? And out of it approach many in these terms. How can it be such boldness? How can you and I pray such a confident prayer? Well, surely it begins by coming as we come by Jesus Christ. As you and I have our eye on him and remember that our right of access to the Father is through Jesus Christ, we can come as children to our Father with confidence and say, give us our daily bread. He's not someone who's apart from us, who's aloof. He draws near. He has his fatherly care. That encourages us. Make sure that you have God as your Father through a living faith in Christ. Being adopted into the family of God, you can then with confidence say, give us day by day our daily bread. But also as you plead Christ's name, you're actually giving that strong reason why you should be provided for. Because all things are Christ's. He is heir of all things, Hebrews 1:2. All things are Christ's. And all things are yours, because ye are Christ's. All things belong to him. And as you are one with him, then they become yours. And you have a covenant right to plead for those blessings. Why should God provide you with these blessings? Of yourself, you don't deserve them. You're a sinner. But as united to Christ by faith, you have a covenant right to all the blessings of God. And you can come to him as a father with confidence, saying, give me for Christ's sake. All things are mine, for I am Christ's, and all things are his, and therefore mine in him. Are you living in covenant with Christ then? In covenant with God through Christ? Is he your true Saviour and Lord and Master? You can come with confidence and with boldness and plead for the blessing of God. Let us ensure that we are found in Christ, and then we can have confidence to pray such prayers. Let us make this our daily prayer. Let us seek to make it meaningful, words that we're so familiar with. But let us in faith recognize what they speak of, our dependence on God. Moderation as we ask from God, contentment in God, consideration of others, confidence through Christ. Let us learn these things and pray for the Lord's blessing and provision for our daily needs. Let us pray. Our Lord, bless thy truth to us. Help us to lay it up in our hearts, that we might practice it in our lives. We know these things. Our trouble is living them out in our lives. Grant us thy grace and help. O Lord, we thank thee for thy provision for us. Bless us day by day with what we need. And help us ever to give thee thanks for Jesus.